Good morning, everyone. I'd like to say thank you for being here in attendance at Webster UMC, where God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good.
Amen. So let's start out with some announcements this morning. For those that will be here, we are going to start our Bible study back up on September 10th. Everyone is invited to attend. It's at 5:30. I did send out an email for those who would be interested in attending. It is open to anyone and everyone who would like to be here. And it will go through, it looks like, around the last of October. So we'll be about 8 weeks that we'll do that. And then we'll evaluate it because of going into Advent. We'll look at it and see what that's going to look like. I do anticipate probably in the second week of December, I'm just looking down the road, that we will have probably a small Christmas party here as well, where we will do the two-hour nativity movie. And so we'll just have everyone do a potluck. That's just looking down the road and seeing what that might be. But we will do the two-hour Christmas nativity. It's been put out by Chosen, and have a dinner as well at that time. Do we have any God sightings this morning we would like to share? Well, I have one or two. So this week has been really an interesting week for me. I've had people reach out to me that I've not spoken to in years, some months. My stepson reached out and called me this week, which was a miracle in itself. But he wanted to talk about the Lord. So we had an hour's discussion about God and Jesus and how God was working with him and how he wanted to get back into church. And so that was one of my biggest God sightings this week. On another note, I have a real light, humorous God sighting I'd like to share with you, and even Ken doesn't know about this. This week, I received a FaceTime from a friend I had not seen since I was 17 years old. That is a lot of years. And she and I had walked together at graduation. That's how long I've known this young lady. And we had talked to each other back and forth on Facebook for a while and everything. And we really had a good time. But life happens. We lost track of each other. And she deactivated her Facebook account. And I didn't have a phone number. And so we just was not able to talk to each other. Well, she reached out to me this week, so that's why I said this is kind of a unique discussion we had. But she sat there and she said, "Patty, I have just lost track of you. I have not even been able to see what you're doing. What are you doing these days?" Well, I could have responded and said, "Well, Lulu, I'm a preacher now." As a 17-year-old kid, this was the furthest thing from my mind. So when I decided not to tell her directly what my role was. Sometimes teaching a lesson before actually saying exactly what you need to do brings the point closer to home. So I says, "Well, Lulu, you're not going to believe this, but I work for this global enterprise." I says, "I tell you what, it's one of the best jobs I have ever had, and the boss is out of this world." And I says, "We have outlets all over the place." I says, "We have outlets in hospitals and hospice. We work for people from birth to death. We work with the homeless." I says, "We work in hospitals, hunger relief, and children's home, and even disaster relief." And I says, "We even do justice of reconciliation." You might say that my position is around the area of behavioral modification. So I kind of work in that area. And the retirement program, oh my gosh, it's the best retirement program that you can get. And she sits there and she says, oh my goodness, I want to work for this company. What is the name of the company? I said, Lulu, it's the church. She goes, what? I says, it's the church. I'm a pastor of a United Methodist church. She says, not you. I says, oh yeah. I says, and it's been one of the best jobs that I've ever had in my life. And I says, I love it. She says, tell me more. And so we had a great conversation about the Lord. So two times this week, twice, I was able to talk to people who was seeking God. They just might not know exactly how to go about finding how to do that. So that was my God sighting this week. Now, do we have any God sightings in church today that we would like to share? Where have you seen God at work this week? Bonnie.
Miss Madison had a chance to see her sister and her mother. They live in Connecticut. And she probably only met her sister twice. She's about 14 now. And her mother lives back up in Connecticut. So, of course, Madison knew who her mother was right away. And she was so excited, just clapping her hands and happy that just people are with her. It was just good to see her with so much joy.
That's great. Do we have any other God sightings this week? Yes, Ms. Fitz.
Dr. Nicholas' son, who he has not seen in several years, has spent a week with him. And to see him and his child and his grandchild begin to get to know each other after many years of separation is a God sign.
Amen. Yeah. That's wonderful.
So they're traveling now.
Good.
It's good for them.
Do we have any other God sightings that we'd like to share this week? Where else have we seen God at work this week?
Well, Mr. J.D., he's starting a nonprofit, and he's finally got a fire lit in the room. He's been talking about it probably for about 7 or 8 years now, and he's really being very aggressive with it, and I'm really happy to see that he's trying to do more than sit back and wait for his dreams to come to him.
Thank you for sharing that, Bonnie. I'm going to share a God sighting for the church. As y'all know, Diane and Mike and Ken and myself and some others in the church, Martha, we have been really looking about trying to create something within this church that can be an extra resource for evangelism. Music, thankfully, is one of those gifts that is in this church. But it's not limited just to music. If any time, if you're like a writer, like Mr. Kent over here, and you would like to share something like a devotion or a poem or anything, we want to be able to use you in the church and use those gifts, whatever that may look like. So down the road, if you have something that you'd like to use as far as a meditation in place of the Bible scripture reading, please let me know, because I would love to be able to utilize that. With that being said, we incorporated special music last week as the prelude, and we're going, like I said, we're going to try to do more of that. We had over 500 views on the website because of a song, because we brought gifts together and worship God in a way that we felt that was meaningful to us. But I know there are other gifts and opportunities that if you want to do that, please let me know, or even let Diane know, and we'll be glad to work with y'all on that. Do we have any other God sightings this morning? Any announcements? Any concerts coming up that I'm not aware of yet? Okay, great.
Diane, are you Are you starting today over to Western? Because it's better next week.
No. I'm not sure. Not till September.
Okay. We'll keep that in mind, though. All right. But yes, BJ, you got one?
Well, I have some beautiful flowers. When I drive up and down my driveway, I have my this beautiful red flower that blooms there, and then my orchid cactus on my front porch. It's been blooming really pretty, so I've had stuff like that.
Well, stuff like that is things that a lot of people take for granted, and we're glad that we can experience that, so thank you.
Yeah, I've had a hibiscus that up and down the driveway, and it's a huge big blooms on it, and then my orchid cactus, when I go out there, I see that. So that's been inspiring me, you know.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for that. If there are no other God sightings or announcements, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts. Thank you for bringing us together and for the opportunity to gather in your presence. We ask for your guidance, wisdom, and peace as we begin. May our words, thoughts, and actions be pleasing to you. Help us to listen with open hearts, work with kindness, and seek your will in all that we do. Bless this time together, O Father, and let us bring encouragement and understanding and unity to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will ask that you please open your Bible and read Genesis 45, 1 through 15, as Diane brings us to focus upon the Lord. Sing verses 1 and 2 only. God will take care of you. Please stand if you're able and join me as we sing this hymn of joy. Thank you. Evelina. That was beautiful. Let's turn to page 850 in our hymnal. We will do Psalm 133, and there's only three verses. Behold how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
But the hair of the Lord has commanded the blessing of life forevermore.
This morning, any intercessory prayers of any sort? Yes, Miss Bonnie.
Continued prayers from Madison and JDC. Continued prayers for my girlfriend Janice, who's suffering with cancer.
What's her name?
Janice.
Janice, thank you. I'm sorry, I probably ask this every week, but.
Travel mercies for Madison's family.
Do we have any other prayer concerns this morning?
Pray for my son, Jason, my daughter, Lindsay.
Okay.
And continued prayers for my neighbor and
Tony. Well, I understand there was a community member here in Webster that had passed away, and we'll probably need to keep that family in our prayers as well. Do you? What was his last name? Do you remember?
Berry.
Okay, the Berry family. Okay.
Just like a strawberry.
Okay, I've got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Continue prayers for Betty.
For Betty.
Charity.
Okay. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with our hearts humbled, trusting in your mercy and care. We lift up to you the needs of our world, those who are suffering, those who are lonely, those who are grieving, and those who are searching for hope. Surround them with your comfort and strength and peace. Father, we pray for the leaders and the communities that they may seek justice, compassion and wisdom in all that they do. We pray for families, friends, and neighbors, and all who have asked for prayers, that they may know your presence and receive what they need according to your will. Father, we have those that have been mentioned today, and we lift them up to you now. Madison, JD, Janice, travel mercies for the family of Madison, the Berry family, Jason and Lindsay, Betty and Tony. Lord, guide your church to be a light in the world. Help us to love as you love, serve as you have served, forgive as you forgive. Open our hearts to hear your voice and to follow where you lead. Father, gather our prayers into one as we now pray together in the words of our Savior who taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I will now ask Miss Bonnie to please join me at the table. Gracious God, you pour your blessing upon your people like dew upon the earth and oil upon the head. Flowing beyond all boundaries we withdraw. We thank you for the gift of unity, good and pleasant, beautiful and life-giving, meant not only for us, but for the healing of the world. Receive these offerings as signs of our desire to live together in your love, to practice radical welcome, and to share your abundance with all of your children. Let what we give today flow outward in compassion and service, that our life together may reflect your kingdom of peace, justice, and joy. Amen. Verses 10 through 20, and Mr. Kent Davis will do the first reading.
And he called the people to him and said to them, Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then the disciples came to him and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said unto him, Explain the parable to us. And he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach, and so passes on? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile man.
Our second reading comes from Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, and Ms. Fitz is our second reader for this morning.
This is the Syrophoenician woman. After leaving there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that district came out and began to cry out loudly, urgently, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly possessed by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. And his disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting out at us." He answered, "I was commissioned by God and sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the same and began to kneel down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he replied, "It is not appropriate to take the children's bread and throw it to the pet dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even pet dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their young master's table." And Jesus answered her, "Woman, your faith, trust, and confidence in my power is great. It will be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For those who are joining us online today, the title of today's message is called Examining Our Hearts. There are some things in life that just look perfectly clean on the outside, but tell a completely different story on the inside. Think about a house that you pass every day on how nicely it has been groomed. The lawn is beautifully manicured. The windows are spotless. The front porch is carefully decorated. And everything outside suggests this must be a beautiful, well-kept home. But imagine then you could somehow see through the walls of that house. Behind that beautiful exterior, there are piles of garbage and mold growing in the walls, broken pipes, and rooms that have been cleaned, have not been cleaned in years. And from the street, everything looks wonderful. But the inside tells a completely different story. We learn how to dress appropriately. We learn how to take care of the outside. We learn how to smile when we're supposed to smile. Someone smiles at you, you smile back. We learn how to say, well, we hope to, say the right things in public. And how to behave in church. We learn the hymns. We learn when to stand and when to sit. And we even learn how to look spiritual. Yet Jesus is not interested in any of this, of what is happening outside of the body. Jesus wants to know what is happening on the inside. John Wesley even wrote a sermon very close to what I am wrote today. It is about circumcision of the heart. And they talk about this external and internal religion, this holiness, and what are we portraying? But see, Jesus doesn't want to know anything about what's out here. He wants to know what is in here. And this is where Matthew takes us in the 15th chapter of this gospel. Jesus has just been confronted by religious leaders who has come to him, and they are complaining about his disciples because they didn't wash their hands. The traditional ceremony of washing their hands before they eat. This could be a misunderstanding here of what is happening. Matthew is not talking about ordinary hygiene. This is not a story about Jesus being opposed to washing your hands before dinner. Please do wash your hands before dinner. The religious leaders were concerned about ceremonial purity. They had developed these traditions intended to help people to remain spiritually clean. And one of those was wash your hands. Well, I don't know. I have sit and dug in dirt and planted gardens and picked tomatoes. And I've had some of the dirtiest hands around and felt very spiritual about doing so. So that is not what Jesus is talking about here. You see, they had developed these traditions over time where the traditions of actually following the law and doing this was more concerned about following the law than it was about the spiritual matters of the heart. Jesus will not allow any of them to get away with this. And he calls the crowd together and he says, listen up and understand what I'm going to tell you. Not in exact words, but you know what I'm saying. Because he is challenging one of the most deeply held assumptions of religious people. Holiness is primarily about what we show on the outside. I'm talking about religious, I'm not talking about spiritual. There is a difference now. Jesus explains that it's not what goes into the mouth that makes a person unclean. What truly defiles a person comes from within. Because what comes out of the mouth reveals what is really present in the heart. And Jesus names these things. Evil intentions, murder, sexual immorality, adultery, theft, false witness, and slander, and Lord knows well, there's a whole bunch of more out there. In other words, Jesus says the greatest spiritual problem is not external contamination, but internal transformation. What comes out of us reveals what is inside of us. Think about the last time someone said something to you and you knew they immediately regretted what they had said. They wanted to take it back, but it was too late. I myself have inserted my number 10 in my mouth way too many times and wish I could have taken it back. You can't. It's there. Perhaps the people were angry and something came out of their mouth that they had really been holding inside for a long time. After they might say, I didn't mean that. I am so sorry. No, you really did mean that. You have not addressed what is happening in the heart. You have harbored anger. You have harbored fear. You have harbored jealousy. Let's sit down and talk about it. I'm not going to judge you. I want to help you through it. That's part of it. Afterward, sometimes the words that reveal something that we may have even been unwilling to admit about ourselves. And one day it's just out there. It is right in front of us. Anger has a way of revealing what is in the heart, and so does jealousy, resentment, pride, prejudice, bitterness. We can control our behavior for just a while, but all it takes is one trigger, and the heart is sparked. One of the clearest contemporary examples we can find today is social media. Facebook. We have become remarkably good at presenting edited versions of ourselves. We can choose the photograph in which we look our best, write the post that makes our lives sound wonderful, and create an image that suggests that everything is beautiful and peaceful in our life. I am here to challenge you. Get your driver's license photo and put it up on Facebook instead of the ones you'll want everyone to see. I will tell you right now, the North Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles has got the best way of showing a picture that we don't want anyone to look at. That's the one we want up on Facebook. That's who we really are. We were probably frustrated, aggravated with the process, maybe mad because we had sitted and waited so long just to get our picture taken and look into it and identify five signs with our glasses on. So the picture... That is who we really are. So what happens when someone disagrees with us? Or when someone insults us? Or when someone receives something we believe we deserve? Suddenly that careful, constructed exterior of who is Patty Graham disappears. It is out the window. Jesus tells us to pay attention to that. The problem is not merely what's coming out of our mouth. The problem is already what is living in our hearts right now. These are hard words to listen to. But they're also very gracious words. Because Jesus is not trying to expose the human heart so he can condemn us and walk away and say, okay, now you know what you are, I'm out of here. Jesus is not doing that. This becomes especially clear because of what Matthew tells us next. Immediately after Jesus teaches about what comes out of the heart, Matthew introduces us to a woman whose heart is going to reveal something very different. Jesus leaves the area and withdraws into the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is a Gentile territory outside the normal boundaries of the Jewish religious life. And there he encounters her, the Canaanite woman. And Matthew deliberately calls her a Canaanite. It's an ancient designation carrying the memory of ancient Israel's ancient enemies. She's not simply a stranger. She represents someone in Jewish religious community that they would regard as an outsider. And yet here this woman, she shows up on Jesus' doorstep and she's crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terrible from this demon possession." There is desperation in these words. Anyone who is a parent knows what it feels like when a child gets sick and you cannot do anything about it and you just want someone to help that child. This is a mother whose child is hurting and she comes to Jesus because she believes he is the only one who can help her. And then something happens that makes all of us uncomfortable. Maybe uncomfortable. I was talking to Diane about this a couple days ago. Jesus ignores her. He does not answer her. He is silent to the matter. And the disciples are becoming irritated and said, "Send her away. She's crying out after us. Lord, send her, get her out of here." Notice what they are concerned about. They are not particularly interested in her suffering. They could care less if she's suffering. They are interested in getting rid of the interruption. Now, how often are we like that? Someone else's pain can become inconvenient. Someone else's crisis can interfere with our schedule. Someone else's problems can make us feel uncomfortable. Right? Am I right? I'll prove it to you. We are always asking, how can I? We don't ask, how can I help? We sometimes ask, how can I get this person out of my way? And notice the first thing that Jesus is silent in the face of her cries. And then he tells her that his mission is not for her. I'm not going to do this for you. You're not part of God's kids. And then he calls her a dog. This really got to me. This reeks of prejudice, divine election, and puts limits on God's mercy. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why would Jesus call a woman a dog? We can see the same attitude in our contemporary world. Imagine someone sitting in a crowded emergency room, frightened, exhausted, and hurting. Another person walks through the doors and begins explaining what is happening to them. And everyone in the room is now starting to feel uncomfortable. But one person turns away and thinks, I don't want to hear this. I've got my own problems. I've heard it. This is sometimes how the church behaves. We become so focused on keeping everything orderly and comfortable and calm and so familiar that we forget that Jesus is constantly bringing people hurting into our presence. The Canaanite woman becomes an uncomfortable interruption. But Jesus is about to use her interruption to teach his disciples and us something about faith. So let's break this down. The woman refuses to leave. Jesus finally speaks and says that his mission is directed toward the sheep of Israel. And she kneels before him and simply says, Lord, help me. Those may be some of the most powerful words in this entire passage because She does not present Jesus with this theological argument. She does not tell him, well, I deserve this too. She does not claim a religious pedigree. She simply brings her need to Jesus. And Jesus responds with words that are difficult for me and I'm sure for others. It is not right to take children's bread and toss it to the dogs. We need to understand the cultural setting here. Jesus is using language that reflects this Jewish-Gentile distinction of time. And the term he uses refers to a household dog rather than the wild scavenger dogs that were often despised. Even so, the statement is deliberately challenging and the woman does not retreat. We know what a scolded dog looks like. They back up, tail tucked between their legs, and they hunker her down. She does not do that. Instead, she responds with remarkable humility and faith. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She is essentially saying, I understand what you're trying to teach me here, Lord, and I know I am not part of Israel. I know I am an outsider. I am not asking you to take anything from anyone else. I am simply asking for mercy. And Jesus responds, woman, you have great faith. Her daughter is healed. And when we step back and we look at what Matthew has placed side by side, this connection becomes much more powerful. First, Jesus talks about the human heart. Then Matthew introduces us to a woman whose religious society would have considered an outsider and what Jesus discovers in her. He discovers faith. The people who were worried about ceremonial purity were focused on the outside, while the woman who was considered ceremonially and socially unclean possessed something that Jesus called great faith. There's a difference. Matthew is making this profound theological point. God's kingdom is not ultimately about keeping the right people out. It's about recognizing what God is doing in the human heart. And Wesley reinforces this constantly. We know who is respectable. We're really good about finding... So let me rephrase this. This should make us comfortable... uncomfortable, but we find these categories and these labels. When we start using labels and categorizing people, and we start pointing out their sin, we have a problem. We know who is respectable and who is not. We know who looks like us and who does not. We know who has the right background, the right history, the right beliefs, the right education. Some of the smartest people I've ever known never completed high school and could do things in vocational school that just blows my mind. I could never do some of this stuff. Some people with the right family and sometimes even the right denomination. But sometimes, as my mama would used to say, he came on the other side of the track. We know who's on this side of the track. We always talk about the right track and the other side of the track. Some of that Appalachian theology there for you. But Jesus keeps asking a different question. What is in your heart at this moment? One of the most dangerous things that can happen to a Christian is to become more concerned about the appearance of holiness rather than the reality of holiness. We can become experts at religious behavior while never allowing Christ to transform the places inside us that need us most. We can come to church every Sunday and still carry resentment and judgments. We can sing hymns while refusing to forgive our neighbor. We can quote scripture while judging everyone around us. We can pray some of the most beautiful prayers while harboring hatred. We can look clean on the outside while something on the inside is desperately in need of God's grace. Jesus says, look inside. Not because he wants to shame us, because he wants to save us. He wants to save us. Jesus says in Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest ye be judged. He even speaks about the log in our own eyes when we're trying to pick out the speck of dust out of someone else's. Think again about something as ordinary as a car dash. How many of you sit there, we're driving down the road and we look and there's dust on that dash and we think, oh my goodness, I need to clean that off. And so when you get home, the first thing you do is you polish that dashboard until it shines. You vacuum the seats. You wash the outside until the car looks brand new. It even has the new car smell. But then you look on the dash panel. And what do you see? You see the flashing engine red light still blinking, still trying to tell you something. You see, polishing the car is not going to fix the problem if you have a glowing engine light staring back at you. The light is telling you that something deeper needs attention to your car. Sometimes God allows something to come out of us, that anger and jealousy, the impatience, the resentment, and the bitterness, not to embarrass us, but to show us where he needs to do his mechanical work on us. He needs to figure out, okay, now that I've got this pulled out, what are you going to do to help me to get where I need you to be? The question is not, how can I hide this? The question is, Lord, what are you trying to change in me and how am I going to do it? Lord, have mercy on me. That is the beauty of the Canaanite woman's story. She comes to Jesus with nothing to prove. She does not pretend. She does not hide. She comes simply with a broken heart and says, Lord, help me. Jesus responds to faith. And that is the good news for every one of us here, because none of us has a perfectly clean heart. And we all have places we would rather nobody would see. I know that I have a room in my house. We keep the door shut. When visitors show up, you're not allowed in there. You cannot go there. That's my junk room. That's my gut. You cannot go in that room. But there are thoughts we would never say out loud. Wounds we would never completely surrender. There are things that we just will never get over. But you have to learn to live through them. Jesus does not say, clean yourself up and then come to me. He says, in effect, come to me. And I will accept you in any way you are right now. Just come to me. The Christian life is not a performance in which we convince God that we have our act together. Because I'm telling you right now, I know every one of us does not, including myself, does not have their act together. It's a relationship in which we allow Christ to enter places that we have kept hidden from everyone else. The Canaanite woman came to Jesus with her need, and Jesus met her there. She came as an outsider, but she discovered mercy. She came with desperation, but she left with hope. She came asking for crumbs, but she discovered the abundance of God's grace. So perhaps the question for us today is not whether we look good as a Christian. Perhaps the question is whether are we becoming more like Christ? Are we becoming more patient with each other? More forgiving? More compassionate? More willing to listen? And more willing to love people who are different from us? Are we becoming more willing to welcome the person who makes us uncomfortable? Do we intentionally put ourselves in a space where we know we're not going to like what that person says, but we go into it because we need to learn to love them, even if they are different? Are we more willing to say, Lord, help me? Jesus begins by talking about what comes out of the heart, and Matthew then shows us a woman whose heart is filled with something the religious establishment fails to recognize. faith. She came as an outsider with desperation, but she left with hope. And perhaps that is the word we need to hear today. Hope. We shouldn't be so concerned about who is worthy when they come to the table, how much they give. All we need to worry about is that we too live by grace. And the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus does not merely change what people see on the outside. He changes hearts. And I tell that back to the 17-year-old girl that her friend still finds hard to believe where she's at today. And when Jesus changes the heart, eventually the outside begins to look different too. Our words become kinder. Our judgments become slower. Our compassion becomes deeper. Our tables become larger. And our hands become more willing to serve. And people who once felt like outsiders begin to discover that there's a place for them in God's family. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I will ask that everyone please stand. Turn in your red hymnals to page 560. We will do the first two verses because Miss Diane has another church she has to run to. And so we're going to try to make sure that we can accommodate her as well. She is going to play through this one song one time just so you can hear it. I did send out an email. So if you didn't hear it, you're going to learn it now. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. May we go forth in peace, strengthened in faith, filled with love, and guided by love. And may the blessing of Almighty God rest upon us and remain with us always. Amen. Sure you'll have some, so please hang around if you'd like to have some.